What is up, church? How are we doing? Oh man, it is good to be with you guys this morning. I am so thankful for your church and thankful for your children's ministry and your partnering with us in your vacation Bible school that you recently had. It has been a blessing for us over the years to partner with you guys as a church. We are so very thankful for the ministry of this church. Y'all support us as a church. You take a little bit of that money that was just collected, and every month some comes our way to keep us in the ministry in Uganda. And then for the last few years, y'all have partnered with us as a ministry to figure out how you can fundraise at VBS for something exciting. And this year, what you've done is provide backpacks and shoes for the kids of Uganda, and not just any kids, for kids that are in a specific place. And that place is this area called Coach Lee. So there's an area in northern Uganda, and I'll speak a little bit later, but northern Uganda has been plagued by a civil war for 20 years. And so it is a large amount of hurt and heartache and broken pieces of the country exists there. We're opening up a ministry location because we say, what better place to bring the healing hope of Jesus than a place where there's brokenness and hurt? That's where Jesus enters in. And so in January of 2026, we're going to open up a new ministry site in Coach Lee. We're going to enroll a bunch of kids from this community. They don't know anything about us, and they don't know anything about Jesus or the hope that Jesus offers them. Through our ministry there, they will. Gospel-centered relationships will begin, and Jesus will be made known in this community, and a church is being planted through our efforts as well, because there's no gospel-centered church in this community. So we're so excited to be able to bring the healing hope of Jesus to the hurting children of Africa in this area called Coach Lee. And y'all have partnered with us by giving shoes and backpacks and some food to each one of the families that we will partner with in the ministry in Coach Lee. So thank you from the bottom of my heart and from the children of Uganda to you. If you did anything, did any kids here raise money? Any kids at VBS? All right, we did a few. We got some few. Good. Thank you. Parents, thank you. That $4,500 will go a long way towards helping families in Uganda. I would love to share all morning with you about our ministry, but y'all don't want to just hear that. You want to hear about the Word of God, and you want to meet God through His Word, because that is what we do as we gather on these Sunday mornings. We open up His Word to experience who He is and hear a little bit about who He is, and then let that challenge change and shape the lives that we live. So that's what we're going to do today. We are going to spend our morning in the book of Nehemiah. So if you have your Bible, either digitally or otherwise, you're welcome to turn to Nehemiah chapter 1, and we are going to dig in to His Word. While you look, will you allow me to pray? Jesus, we thank you for this time with this church. Father, would you speak through your Word? God, and if you will, would you speak through me? God, so that our lives could be changed, so that you could be made known, and Father, so that we could become people who step into broken places in this world as your ambassadors. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Amen. All right, Nehemiah chapter 1. If you're in Nehemiah chapter 1, we're just gonna start in the beginning. Do you know anything about Nehemiah? You may. Nehemiah is a wall builder. Have you guys ever heard this story of Nehemiah building a wall? If you have, welcome. I'm glad you're here. If you have not, let me back up a bit. So the people of God, right? Israel, at that time, God had brought His people to a city, and He had said, "This is the city that you will call home. But you need to obey me. You need to listen to my commands. You need to do things right." And then the people of God said, we kind of want to do things our own way. And so they did things their own way. And then God said, that doesn't really work for me. So you're going to have to change your ways. And the people of God said, we kind of don't want to change our ways. We prefer our ways. And God said, still doesn't work for me. So he sent an invasion, right? An army, a foreign nation came and conquered this people. And they broke the walls, the actual walls around the city that protected the people got broken down. And the army came in and invaded, and they took people away. In the first group of people that they took away the best and the brightest. Daniel, if you remember him, and his compatriots, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, or if you want to go with their Jewish names, you can. Those are harder for me, so I'm going to stick with those. So they went away, and they became these leaders in this foreign nation that had conquered them. And then the nations came back a little bit later, and they said, well, we took your best and your brightest, but who's second best? And they took the second best group away. And then they left a group of people remaining. And those group of people, you wonder how that would feel, right? If you're like, well, I didn't get picked with the first people. Okay, maybe they'll take me with the second. No. So again, I'm going to stay. Then they had the leftover people. How would that feel? I don't think that would feel very good. But I don't even know. Maybe you don't want to go to exile. Maybe you prefer to stay. So you're kind of like happy, sad. But either way, the exiled people remained. And they weren't smart, and they weren't the gifted of the group. So they would think as the world measured, they were just the leftover group. And they remained in this city. And then their walls were broken down. And so everyone who wanted to do anything in that group, with that group of people, there was no protection. There was no safety because the walls were broken down. But the people that had went found themselves in a foreign nation serving as slaves and as helpers in this nation. And Nehemiah was one of those people who was in this foreign nation. He was Jewish. He was from Jerusalem. His family was, but he was serving in the court of a foreign king. And we find Nehemiah chapter 1. The words of Nehemiah, the son of Hakaliah. Now it happened in the month of Kislev, which is like November, December. In the 20th year, as I was in Susa, the citadel, that Hanani, one of my brothers, came with certain men from Judah. And I asked them concerning the Jews who escaped, who had survived the exile, and concerning Jerusalem. And they said to me, the remnant there in the province who had survived the exile is in great trouble and shame. The wall of Jerusalem is broken down, and its gates are destroyed by fire. So Nehemiah, probably born in this foreign country, knew of Jerusalem, and he knew what had gone on there, and he knew that they were in trouble. But he had visitors that came from that foreign place to share in some way, shape, or form life with him. We don't know what they were there for, but Nehemiah, when he received these visitors from Jerusalem, had an opportunity to ask them how life was going, or to just turn the other way and move on with life. He could have said, hey, take a seat, here's some water, you know, let's talk, let's shoot the breeze. Or he could take the time to ask a question for them, a question that he knew the answer for. He knew that their life was difficult. He knew the challenges that they were facing with the walls being broken down, with invaders coming in, with people coming and stealing, with the shame that they faced, not having a city that looked good, being a laughingstock. He knew those problems. And still he asked. And that's the first thing that I want you to realize, is that God... Is that when you have the opportunity to ask a question about what's going on in people's lives, don't shy away from that moment. That is a Jesus moment right there. And it can change your life forever. It can change someone else's life forever just by simply taking the time to say and to really ask, what's going on in your life? Friends, as believers, as Christians, we don't do that enough where we really give people the opportunity to let us know what's going on in their life. Sure, we ask them, but we don't really mean it. We don't expect an answer. And if someone gives us an answer, we're not, you know, really engaged. We can stare off into space or pass by whatever they say. But if you want to be a person of God who lives their lives for the sake of others, if you want to live on mission with God in this community, then you need to be a person who takes a step towards other people and ask them about what's going on in their lives in an intentional way. And that's not the only thing that goes on in that verse. Verse 4, as soon as I heard these words, I sat down and I wept and I mourned for days, and I continued fasting and praying before the God of heaven. So Nehemiah heard what was going on. He took the time to ask, and then he let his heart break. He let his heart break for what was, he cared. Do you care? Do you allow yourself to care? Do you have space to care? Do I? When I really ask people what's going on? I hope we do. Because Nehemiah gives us an idea, a guide of how to step towards brokenness as a believer in Christ. As someone in this world who cares about others, how do you step towards them and not away? The first thing, take the time to ask. The second thing is this, let your heart break for someone else. Let your heart break. When our family moved to Uganda, we could have picked anywhere on the world to care about, but for some reason, God saw fit to make us aware of the challenges that the Ugandan people were facing. Now, some people might know of Uganda as a place with gorillas and lions and monkeys and all of those things. And that's true. We have those and it's wonderful. And there's beautiful pieces of Uganda, but there's also a broken piece. And this stat here represents that broken piece. The first guy is Idi Amin, a dictator from days ago, but he left a terrible stain on the country and a lot of brokenness in his wake. The second picture, that middle picture, is a child soldier. For 20 years, Uganda faced civil war, and one of the armies would use child soldiers and do terrible things to make them become child soldiers. And it went on for 20 years. You can imagine the difficulties there. And if you know nothing else about Uganda, you might know of the HIV/AIDS crisis that caused a whole generation of people my age and yours as parents to pass away, leaving a nation that is this. 50% of this nation are children. It is in a very, very young nation. At one point, it was the second youngest nation in the world. And there were a bunch of kids without parents in a nation that had struggled to find its way forward. And so when we heard this, our heart, my family's heart, my heart broke for the people of Uganda. And we prayed a simple prayer and we said, God, what do you want us to do in this country? How can we partner with you in your work with these people? God, here we are. Will you send us? And God was faithful to send us. But it started with our hearts hurting when we heard the reality of what was going on around the world. Your heartbreak might not be Uganda. Your heartbreak might be your neighbor who's going through something difficult. It might be someone in your family who's struggling. It might be you. You might break your own heart with what's going on in your own heart. God cares and he sees you. And he wants to work through that broken heart that you have. He wants to bring healing. And that's what God was doing through Nehemiah. He was bringing healing. He was working out his plan. So what happened next in the story of Nehemiah is after he steps towards people and he asks what's going on, after he allows his heart to break, what happens next is Nehemiah has to figure out, what do I do with this heartbreak? How do I engage Do I engage? Do I do anything? What do I do? And so he has to do something. And he does the best thing you could ever do. He prays. He prays to the God of heaven. If you read 5 through 11, you will read Nehemiah's prayer. He confesses his own sin. He confesses his aunt's sin. He confesses everyone's sin, just in case that would get in the way. He confesses the whole nation's sin. And then he says, God, you remember your promises to your people. Will you please do something to help them in their time of need? Will you do something, oh God? Will you do something? And then this memoir that Nehemiah is writing stops. And he says, now I was cupbearer to the king, chapter 2. And then he describes how as a man, with his position as cupbearer, which is like a taster, he would taste all the little drinks that the king would receive to make sure there was no poison. He would and that they tasted well and wasn't spoiled and all that. He would taste and then pass it to the king. He says, now I was cupbearer to the king. And in the month of Nisan, that's like March, April. So he heard the news in November, December. In March, April, he's before the king. And he's like, oh, king, oh, God, if this is the moment, I'm ready. And the king asked him in verse 2, why is your face sad seeing that you're not sick? So Nehemiah hadn't been sad before the king, but in this moment he was sad. And the king asked him, the king gave him the opportunity to speak, seeing his sadness. And Nehemiah said this, verse 3. Verse 2, it starts with, then I was very much afraid. Then I was very much afraid, and I said to the king, let the king live forever. Why should my face not be sad when the city, the place of my father's graves, lies in ruins, and its gates have been destroyed by fire? So Nehemiah then goes on to say, let me be sent to Judah. He recognized that there was a problem. There was a problem in Judah. He prayed about it. He heard about it. He let his heart break. He prayed about it. And then he says this to the king. Oh, king, well, if it's your will, would you send me to Judah? Now, Nehemiah wasn't a wall builder, but he knew the people needed a wall built. And so he decided that he's going to do what he could do to help them. All he had to offer, all he had was himself. That's what he had. He didn't have anything else. And so he went to the king and he went to God, the God of heaven, and said, here I am. Will you send me? Will you allow me to help these people, the people in Jerusalem who are hurting? And of course, the king, amazingly, by God's grace, said yes. And I'm going to send you with all the lumber and all the money and all the resources to build this wall. And so Nehemiah went and he began to build the wall. But before he built the wall, he sat and he spent time with the people. In Nehemiah 2, 11 through 18, he identifies as with the people. He says this, come, let us build the wall of Jerusalem that we may no longer suffer derision. And I told them the hand of my God had been upon me for good and also the words that the king had spoken to me. And then they said, let us rise up and build. So they strengthened their hands for the good work. This is an important step. If you're going to move towards your neighbor, your cousin, your friend, who has a bit of brokenness in their life, whose heart is hurting, you have to let yourself hurt for them. You have to pray. You have to be willing to do something. And then you have to be willing to just to sit with them and identify with them in their brokenness. Nehemiah doesn't come to the people and say, let me build your wall for you. You sit, don't mind, I got this. Nehemiah had the resources, but he says, you see the trouble that we are in? He wasn't really in that trouble, but he identified with them in that trouble. And then he said, come, let us rebuild. You're going to have to do something, and we are going to do it together. Friends, if there's someone in your life who's facing a situation that they can't overcome, if their walls are broken down metaphorically, if they're in a place of hurt and of pain and of heartbreak, please identify with them and then ask them to participate with you in the work of getting them out of whatever trouble and situation and hurt that they're in. because he can't do it alone. They can't do it alone, but by God's grace and with his power, you can do it with him. And that's what Nehemiah does. And so from there, Nehemiah builds a wall. And do you know how long it takes Nehemiah to build a wall? Anyone know offhand? Anyone? 52 days. A year is a great guess. 52 days. They built this huge, ginormous wall around this city because everybody had their little section. And then they had the resources. And so in 52 days, Nehemiah did what he came to do. So what do you think happens next? If you're done building the wall, what would you do? That's what you came to do. Would you go back to your place? Probably, but Nehemiah doesn't. And if Nehemiah did, we would probably not have the book of Nehemiah because it wouldn't have mattered. That wall wouldn't have mattered. What Nehemiah does next is he stays for 12 years in this city, fixing every little piece that had gone wrong because the society had been broken down, not just the walls. The society had been broken down and it needed to be rebuilt and it needed to flourish and family systems and justice needed to come to a city and worship needed to come to a city. And Nehemiah needed to sit down and to read the book of the law with Ezra the prophet and let the word speak to the people. And it took 12 years of his faithful work after building the wall in 52 days. For Nehemiah, that's what happened. That was his work. I want to compare that just a bit to our work with Hope Alive. I talked with you about the brokenness that we face. Primarily, we identify it as families that are broken. There's a lot of reasons for that, but families are broken and they're hurting. And education is one of the tools that we use to see families restored because education opens up a wealth of opportunities for students to be change agents in their communities and in their families. But education is not the point of Hope Alive. Jesus is the point of what we do in Uganda. And letting these families be restored and worship Jesus is what we are all about. Education is just a piece. The thing that Nehemiah did was build a wall. But the reason that Nehemiah is successful is because he was willing to stick around after the problem was solved. And he didn't view the project as just a project, but he cared about the people long enough to stay in their hurt and in their heartache and in their successes as the ups and downs inevitably came. That's what Nehemiah did that was so, so incredibly powerful. And that's what we try to do in Hope Alive is it's a long-term commitment to families. It's not just about getting a kid educated. It's about walking with people through their lives. And that's what your invitation is as a follower of Jesus, to step into someone's brokenness and to not leave them when you think it's fixed, but to just stay with them and see reform come and transformation come over time. And it's not just an Old Testament thing. It's not just a Nehemiah thing. Nehemiah is a great handbook for missionaries. If you want to be a missionary, I encourage you to study Nehemiah. Most people don't think of it, but I think it's a great picture of missional living in a community and across cultural context and seeing holistic transformation happen over time. It's a beautiful story. I love it. But it's not just the book of Nehemiah that paints that picture for us as Christians, but it's also the New Testament and it's also Jesus. That is what Jesus did as well. And that's what he encouraged his followers to do. Galatians 6:2, carry each other's burdens. And in this way, you will fulfill the law of Christ. This is a commandment from Jesus to be, well, not from Jesus, right? From Paul, but born out of the life of Jesus, spoken through the Holy Spirit to the person of Paul to say, man, carry each other's burdens. Carry one another's burdens. So I want to ask you, church, do you carry one another's burdens? This is a picture of some kids in Uganda carrying one of their fellow kids' burdens. The kids of Hope Alive went on a mission one day and they had decided that they needed to participate with God in blessing the kids in their communities because they had been blessed. They needed to go pray for others. So they went to their pastor and they said, "Pastor, can we, you know, organize ourselves and go pray for kids in the community?" And pastor said, "It's really more of an adult thing. So no, you let the adults go. You stay behind." But those kids, they were resilient. And so they said, "No, this is something that we need to do." So they went and asked one of our mentors, a mentor is a volunteer for Hope Alive, a Ugandan man or woman of like upwardly mobile Ugandan who invests in the children and partners with us in the ministry. So they went to their mentor and they said, "Hey, can we go in this community and pray for kids?" And so they went in the community and they prayed for kids. And this is one of the photos. This girl was sick. And so they just wanted to pray for her. They knew this, Galatians 6:2, carrying one another's burdens. You might think a Ugandan kid living in desperate poverty won't be thinking about carrying someone else's burden, but you'd be so far from the truth if that was your thought. These kids care about others and they exemplify Christ and they do a lot of what Nehemiah did in their communities. What else does the New Testament have to say about living for the sake of others like Nehemiah? This is Jonathan, and the verse is Romans 12:15. "Rejoice with those who rejoice, mourn with those who mourn." Caring, living for the sake of others means caring for other people. That's where it starts, right? That's where it starts. So if you can identify with other people's emotions and feel their emotions with them, you are a step ahead of me. I have a hard time doing that. Jonathan is someone that exemplifies that for me, and his story does as well. When Jonathan first came to us this last year, we were enrolling him into our program. So we took a photo of him like we do with all the kids. And most of the kids smile. And if they don't smile, we ask them, "When you're taking your photo, can you smile?" And they do. When we took Jonathan's photo, we said the same thing, "Smile." And he couldn't. He had no smile. It was the most peculiar thing I've ever run across when it comes to taking someone's photo. He literally did not know how to smile. And so when someone asked him, "Jonathan, why aren't you smiling?" He said, "What is there to smile about? What do I have in life to smile for?" His mom was handicapped. He had trouble finding enough food to eat. He didn't have much of a hope for a future and he wasn't enrolled in like school. He just was sad. He was a sad dude. And so we took his photo and he didn't have a smile in it, but God was gracious to Jonathan and he found a sponsor to sponsor his education. A few months later, I came back to the site and Jonathan came up to me and he said, "Uncle, I have a smile." So they call me. I said, I have a smile. Now, and he took this photo because he wanted to show that he had something to smile about now. So when Jonathan was down, we were down with him. A lot of kids are down. When Jonathan was up, we could smile with him. That's what it means to live for the sake of others in the kingdom, of Jesus. How does it look like to live for the sake of others like Nehemiah did? It looks like what you guys did this week at VBS. You raised money and to carry one another's burden. The burden of school supplies is a burden that families in Uganda cannot bear. They can't afford to pay for their kids to go to school, and they can't afford the supplies that are necessary for them to go to school. The families that we work with do not have those means. They cannot afford the meals to eat, let alone those extra things like backpacks and shoes. So you guys did that this week. You looked to the interest of the kids in Uganda, and I just want to thank you again and say you lived like Christ as you gave sacrificially towards our Ugandan friends this week. And I want to encourage you to continue to do that in the lives that you live this week and today in your communities. Don't let the giving stop when it ends with VBS. There are people in your community who could use a hamburger, who could use their school supplies being bought for them. Do you know them? Are you willing to do something about it? Can you live for the sake of others? Also, living for the sake of others means remembering those who are trapped in prison, as our writers of Hebrews says, as if they were yourselves. Now, you might think prison's a weird thing for me to talk about, but sociologists compare poverty to prison. They say multi-generational poverty is like prison. You can't get out even if you want to. There are too many things keeping you in, not just lack of money, but lack of access, lack of relationships. There's mentality, there's spiritual poverty, and then there's educational poverty. And the students that we work with in Uganda are trapped in poverty. Generational poverty is passed down to them as their inheritance from their parents and their grandparents. But people like Winnie and people like William are people who live for the sake of others and think of these kids as if they're themselves because they were these kids. Winnie was this kid. She is this woman. She lives in poverty now. William is in poverty now. But they don't let their poverty stop them from seeing others who are suffering and setting them free. How do they set them free? By going every day with this mobile library to the schools and teaching kids the basics of reading. And reading, doing read alouds with preschoolers and kindergartners in their community. And they are a gift who exemplify this verse of remembering those who are suffering as if it was them. The Ugandan friends, our Ugandan men and women that we partner with are the best people in the world who live for the sake of others. Guys, that's what it looks like to live for the sake of others. But if we go back to the text, it's really these few things. It's to step towards brokenness, not away. It's to let your heart break when it should break, not numb it with something else. Let your heart break and then pray and then take a step of faith to say, here I am, Lord, send me to the broken places. As believers in Christ, we should be the first people to step towards brokenness. How I long for the church, for you and me to be known as people who step towards brokenness, by people who are known for what we do in this world and not what we think about this world. But we take action, and it starts with our family, our cousins, our neighbors, our workmates who are broken. When there is brokenness, step towards it. Men and women of God, I just ask you, step towards the brokenness. Because Jesus did. Jesus stepped towards brokenness. He left his home in heaven and he came to earth, right? To live his life for the sake of others. He is the greater Nehemiah. What Nehemiah did in part for Jerusalem, Jesus does for the whole world. He is the greater Nehemiah. Nehemiah was a foretaste of the Jesus to come. May we be a shadow of what Jesus did. But even if we're not, King Jesus is forever. And I pray that his goodness and his righteousness and his justice reigns in this place, in Platte City and in Uganda, because he is king forever. So I ask you this, can we be more like Jesus and live our lives for the sake of others? And I know it sounds complicated and it sounds big. When you think about the big, huge problems of this world, you say, what could I probably do? Most of us, there's not a lot that we could do for those big problems. But when you know someone who's really going through it, don't turn away. Let your heart break. Step towards them and pray to the King of heaven, to the God of heaven, here I am. Send me into this situation, Lord. How would you like me to move into this situation and do something that matters in the lives of people? I would love for this church to be known, and I think the pastor would too, as people who do that on a regular basis because it's who we are. Y'all, God has invited you and he's invited me to live for the sake of others. Not necessarily because we can fix every problem, But man, if we can just respond in one moment with courageous love, an act of love that doesn't make sense, if we can do that, we'll be looking a little bit more like Jesus and be taking a page from the playbook of Nehemiah. If you have time, I encourage you this week to read through Nehemiah and see all that he did and be reminded of all that Jesus did for you. If you have time this week, I encourage you to take a step towards brokenness. And most people think when they step towards brokenness, they're going to find something completely broken and completely unable to be fixed. And you may. But in every broken situation, there is beauty. In every broken situation, there is someone who's deeply loved by Jesus, made for a purpose and with ability to do something in this world that matters. Every person, they're not too far. They haven't gone too far. There's beauty there if you look for it. This is a picture of Uganda, and it's not what most people picture when they picture Uganda. Most of the time you see sad families. We saw some today. Sad kids in terrible outfits or whatever. You'll see the poverty. But if you step towards it, you might actually see something beautiful. You might actually create something beautiful or allow something beautiful to come out of that broken situation. So men and women, children, thank you for listening so well. I pray that you can step towards brokenness in the lives of the people that you know and find beauty is there as well. People are complicated. Life is hard. Both things exist at the same time. Brokenness and beauty. They're there. Step towards people and be willing to find out both and walk with them through the life that is both broken and beautiful at the very same time. And live whatever bit you can for the sake of others. As we close today, I wanna invite you to consider the brokenness in your world. Your little world, your sphere of influence. I want you to ask God to reveal to you what brokenness he might be asking you to step towards. Maybe there's someone who needs a hug. Maybe there's someone who needs some money. Maybe there's someone who just needs some time. And you get to be the one to give it to them.